Good morning. So if you are here in person, if you're online or on demand, however you're here, we're glad. I'm Rusty. I'm the senior pastor here. And we're in a series, and I'll get into that in a minute, but I wanted to, before the message, any of you have been around here for any length of time have known Jim Schleyer. Jim is, he was just a key part of our church. He never could quit hugging. He was a greeter, and we said, be careful about it, but he would always hug and shake hands, and he was just a phenomenal guy. He passed away this morning. Been battling cancer, fighting it really well. They've done this as a family, and he was in his sleep. So sometimes people will say, well, cancer won. Cancer did not win. Jim is cancer-free right now. He made a commitment to Christ years ago, and based on Jesus' promises, we know Jim's doing well. If you, this title of the series we're doing is called All In. If you ever wanted a mascot or a poster boy for that, it would have been Jim Schleyer. So I just want to let you know that they're making plans and all this. We don't know what's going to happen yet, but just if you'd be praying for his kids, David and Jenny and Matt, and then grandkids and family and all this. He was well-known, well-loved, and we're going to miss him. Let's pray together. God, it's the reality is that we're going to be saying goodbye to people we love. And we're grateful for Jim and his influence and his investment here and for his family. And we want to pray right now that they will know your peace and your comfort. They'll know you can handle their tears and their grief and questions and all that goes along with that. And we know you are good, and we know in a broken world there is an anchor that we can place our hope in, and that is you. And for that, we're thankful. And with that confidence, we're going to live our lives full bore. Amen. So I went through my bookshelves today. I've got bookshelves. I got books everywhere in the house, and I've given literally thousands away, but I still have a lot. I stole one from Becky. This is a cookbook. I do absolutely no cooking. That's why they invented blenders and protein. You can put milk in there, and that. But Becky cooks. And some of you have books like this. You've got like the 1,000 ways to cook kale. A lot of times you'll get stuff because I'm gonna eat healthy, so I'm gonna get this thing that was recommended. So you get your healthy cookbook, and that's about where it ends up. Some of us have a book on finances. Oh, I got to get my finances in order. I heard this was recommended, and so you get the Kindle version, or you get. I still like hard copies of stuff. So I'm gonna get my finances in order, so I've got a book about that. My marriage, you know, marriage needs to be worked on, and I'm going to get my spouse this book, because I think if she gets this, Dr. Gottman can really help her, and my life will be better, as well as hers. Some of us are into magazines. Men's health. If you want to get in shape, you want to be healthy, you get this. Every month, they have a new workout for you, new ways to eat kale. And, you know, by the time you've read about three of these, you're pretty sure you're in the best shape ever in your life. Golf Digest. I have decided with Golf Digest, if you're a golfer, it comes out every month. If you just get it for a year, you're going to be shooting a zero, because you're going to get the clubs that are going to shave strokes off your game. You're going to get the ball that does it. You're going to know how to grip it well. You're going to get the right shorts or whatever it is. And we're suckers for it, but we buy it anyway because, well, golf's really important. And then we have this book. You can have the hard copy. I've got many of these. I've got it on my, I've got about 60 translations on my laptop. Great book, by the way. A lot of really, really helpful information from the manufacturer. But like these, if all I do is get the book, or I get the Kindle, or I read it, if I don't do anything with it, it doesn't help me at all. You know, and these are just things you can tell I'm interested in. You could easily find out the things that interest you. You can go and look at your bookshelves, or if you don't have that, your virtual bookshelves. If you're not sure, I'm not really sure what I'm interested in, go to your web browser and just look at the history. Don't tell anyone what's in it because you might not like that. But you can, all of us have things we're interested in and we kind of dabble in them. The problem is if we don't do anything with what we're learning, it does absolutely no good. The 10,000 ways to cook kale, if I don't cook kale, it's not going to help me at all. I'm aware of it, but I'm not doing anything with it. And there is a danger in learning about things without doing anything with what we learn. Listen to what James says, and this is, I'm more interested in the Bible than I am Golf Digest. I really am. Listen to what it says. He goes, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. So if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and forget what you look like. This morning, if you got up, let's say you had eggs for breakfast, or grits. Let's say you're really southern, you had grits. And you go look in the mirror, and you see a big wad of grit, well, like collective grits, right here. And you go, wow, I got some grits on my face. And then you just walk away and don't do anything, you've still got grits on your face. A lot of times what happens is we'll read this or we'll hear it. Wow, that's really something. That's what God's word says. And then you walk away and you've still got whatever it is on you. You haven't done anything with it. That's as foolish as it is to leave grits on your face. It's what it's like to read and learn something and do nothing with it. If you listen to word and don't obey, it's like glancing your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, meaning God's word, what is perfect, and it sets us free. The perfect law that sets you free. And if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Knowing without doing, it's worse than not knowing. And there are two things about this idea of learning something and being helpful. One is it accurate information I'm getting? And then am I acting on that information? Those two things are critical for my life to really change. And I'm going to belabor this for a couple more minutes. Information without application leads to delusion. It said that in James. It said, if you hear it and don't do anything with it, you're only fooling yourselves. Yeah, I can fool myself into thinking I'm a wonderful golfer because I have Golf Digest. I could leave it in my car and people would see it. Oh, he must be a really good golfer. It hasn't impacted me at all unless I do something with what I'm learning. The Bible's the same way. The delusion is thinking that being informed is enough. Being able to talk about it, being able to be familiar with what's true in the Bible. And I can convince myself that I'm a lot further along than I really am. I'm a lot more mature than I really am because I know some things. Knowledge is never a substitute for acting. Talking is not a substitute for actually walking it out. It's really, really critical. And you know what some of us do is trouble comes, and we pull out the Bible. It's kind of like, I've seen people do this with workouts. Oh, I'm really in bad shape. I just went to the doctor. And they go buy a bunch of workout books. They might even buy a Peloton. You've got to plug it in. You have to sit or stand on it and actually sweat. But that's not where we want to go. And then we wonder, what's going on in my life? Why are things not changing? Why do I not feel closer to God? Listen to what Jesus says, and this is, if you don't hear anything else today, listen to this. He goes, why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Lord means boss, CEO, commander-in-chief. Why do you call me that when you're not doing what I say? Followers have a simple job. They follow. I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it's well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. The rub comes from this. I know, but then to do it, that's hard work. If you ever built a house, you're digging footers, tying in steel, doing all the work you have to do to have a solid foundation, it is a lot harder than just putting up some walls. But if you want to have substance in your life, if I want it in my life, you're going to have to take what we learn, do something with it, even though it's hard, and let God do what He does, and that is build something substantial, something that will last, and something that has meaning to it. That's why we're spending so much time in this series, this all-in series, on things that really define who we are. Once I become a follower of Jesus, I have two questions that I have solid answers for. Who am I, and why am I here? And I need to have good answers for that, because we only get this one life. We get however many years we get. And we have a chance to invest it well, or we can waste it. Who am I? Once I become a follower of Jesus, who am I as a child of God, as part of His family now, someone that's been redeemed, someone's been saved, someone's been rescued? And why am I here? What does God want for and from me? So we've got some answers. Last couple weeks, we've looked at these seven heart attitudes. They're basic fundamentals that should be part of my life and yours as we relate to God and to each other as followers. Be humble. And actually, that's kind of the foundation for all of it, isn't it? That means I'm going to put the needs and interests of others before my own. Be authentic. That means I'm going to live an open and honest life. I'm not going to play act. I'm not going to pretend I'm something I'm not. To be teachable, that means that I'm going to be part of a group and we're going to be willing to give and receive correction that comes from God's Word, because all of us need each other. I'm a better driver when someone else is in the car because I have blind spots. Same with my life. You have it too. So part of God's family's role is we help each other, we encourage each other, and then we challenge each other when there's a need for it. And we do it out of love and concern. We're going to reconcile. We're going to make relationships right when they go south. And trust me, they do. The reason a lot of people stay away from church is because relationships got screwed up. And rather than addressing it, it's easier to bail. And that's not what God's called us to do. We serve, which means I'm going to help wherever I'm needed. I'm going to give. That means I'm going to support what's going on to the degree I can financially, and that means it also means I'm going to follow leadership. Within boundaries or biblical guardrails, I'll follow leadership. These are not unique to New Hope. These are just standard biblical practice for those of us that have now become part of God's family. And today we're going to look at five core values that are ones that you and I need to embrace. We need to grab hold of them because they're essential for us in how we live the lives that God's given us. If you want to be mature and have an impact, these five need to be held on to tightly and not let go. And you're going to see some overlap with the heart attitudes too. But these are for everyone that is a follower of Christ. I'm going to go through the five of them pretty quickly. First one is this: connected people grow. Connected means vitally involved in a local church. You know, what we've kind of fallen into in our culture is kind of church tasting. It's kind of like wine tasting, but it's churches. I go here because I like this, I'm going to go here, try this, and we just end up floating around, especially in large metro areas. It's easy just to pick and choose or kind of hang out for a little while and never plant any roots. You know, Jesus said His church is His family, it's His body, and we're to be vitally connected to Him and to each other. And when we are, what's going to happen is we're going to grow. It's going to have an impact on us as we have an impact on each other. There is no room for spectators or mere observers or just fans. The moment I cross the line of faith, I'm to be deeply connected in Jesus' family, His church. A couple of passages here that show this. It says in 1 Thessalonians, so encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing. This church in Thessalonica was doing a good job. I can't virtually encourage you. I can encourage, and you can encourage me, but there's got to be some kind of connection for us to do it. We need to be building each other up. I can't do that if I'm absent from you. You can't do that with me that way either. We're called to be part of this new family, and we're doing something unique. We're living in a way where all of the differences come in. Sometimes they collide and all that, but together we're working on how to be this new family. And by the way, it's going to be a picture of what heaven's going to be like, and we get to live this out now in front of a watching world. And it requires getting and staying connected with each other. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. This is the work we've been called to do. And we don't get to opt out of it. There are a number of people that have turned their back on the church because they don't like some things about it. Here's the deal. Don't find a perfect church. Find a good one. If you found a perfect one, the last thing you should do is join it because you'll screw it up. Find a good one, help it become better. This side of heaven, this is what we're to do. And this idea of connected people grow, I could tell you a bunch of stories. I'm going to tell you one. I'm not going to give you any names, but there is a couple here, and their marriage had declined. They were not getting along well. Their family was in disarray. And it finally came to where the husband and wife separated. And if you were betting, you would probably say, this one's gone. The husband had decided that there was too much going on. He had hurts from the past or things going on. He wasn't understood. And so he just distanced himself from being known, being connected. Over time, God urged him and got his attention, and he finally started moving back into getting connected and opening up about his life. And it was really, really hard. You know, I don't have the Caveman magazine here, but guys, what we tend to do when things aren't going well is we get in our own little cave or our cocoon, and I don't want to deal with it. He was tempted to do that. He ended up fighting that temptation. He got connected with some people. And today, that family is in so much better shape than they'd ever been before. Staying connected, and with all the difficulty that goes with that, by the way. There's that being humble, being open and honest about the struggle, asking for some advice and actually listening to it. And there's a marriage. It's not that this family was restored. They're someplace they haven't ever been before. This is what God can do in our lives when we surrender to Him and let Him have full sway over our lives. I've been honored to be able to watch and be an eyewitness of some of the things happening there. This is when the church, we do our job well. This is what can happen. Connected people grow. And that ties into this next one. That is, growing people change. It's this thing about being a follower of Jesus, it's not a matter of time in. It's not a matter of seniority. It's that God wants to see me regularly changing and becoming more and more like His Son Jesus. And I ought to be able to see that happening in my life. And another thing about being connected with others is they can see maybe what I'm missing. And that encouragement comes along and say, you know, boy, a year ago, you would have lost it when that happened. And now, you only broke two windows. But that's what we get to do. We get to help each other. We get to be witnesses to it. And growing people change. Listen to what this says. And this is in Romans 12. This is about worship. But see the impact. It says, and so now, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. All that means is wherever my body is, that's where I am. Okay? It's just saying give God everything you are. Don't hold back. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. One of the problems that we have in an information age is that we have so much stuff coming in and so little capacity to filter it. One of the problems that Facebook and others are having, I'm not busting on them, is that we can't wait to hear more scoop. I mean, some of you know more about Alec Baldwin than you do about your next door neighbor. You've got big opinions about Alec Baldwin. I mean, we learn all this, we think we know all this kind of stuff. And we're surrounded by it, we're inundated by it, whether it's books, magazines, whatever we get online. And our thinking needs to be adjusted by what God says is true and right. Doesn't mean I can't learn and see these other things, but I've got to have an accurate filter. I'm going to just be blown in the wind by whatever goes my way. And if that happens, I'll be changed, but not in a good way. This transformation means God is in this business. He wants to help me become closer to Him, closer to Becky and my kids, and more faithful in how I live my life and my character and everything else. And that can happen if I continue to surrender myself to Him and let Him change me from the inside out. Anything less than that is I'm just putting time in. So here's a question. Again, you're not allowed to answer this out loud or poke the person next to you because you know what they should do. What is one area, one thing in your life right now you're pretty convinced God would like you to change in? Could be an attitude, could be a value, could be a habit. It could be something He would like you to add to your life that's missing. And what are you going to do about it? Growing people change. Mature followers of Jesus are continuing to grow and develop and change. Anything less than that, and we're off base. And just go back to the connected thing. There are ways to be connected with others so you can have this happen. We got small groups. We've got journey groups that come up all throughout the year. We have some people have issues in their life that are pretty dominating. We have Celebrate Recovery. We have The Landing, which is like Celebrate Recovery for middle and high school students. I'm looking at Jim Morgan's. We have Grief Share for people that are dealing with grief and where they can connect with each other. We've done Divorce Care. We have all kinds of opportunities. Am I availing myself of them or not? And if you can't find a group that fits you right now, find somebody that you know that really wants to grow in their faith too and become accountability partners together. Regularly just meet, pray together, talk about the weekend messages together and say, what is God teaching you? How can I pray for you? How can I help? If you want to know if you're really growing in your faith, there needs to be some evidence of change in your life. And it's possible. These next two, I'm not going to spend much time on them because they're actually, we've kind of been through those in the heart attitudes, but these are two core values that are fairly easy to measure. One of them is save people, serve people. If God has rescued me and saved me, then one of the things He wants me to do is emulate His Son, and that means my job is to serve others, to help them however I can. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, even the Son of Man, He used the term Son of Man for Himself to remind everyone that He was fully God, but He was also fully human. He identified with you and me. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give His life as a ransom for many. I am never more like Jesus when I'm serving and meeting the needs of others, even if it's at my expense. It's fairly easy to measure this in a lot of ways. Well, I can look back and say there was a time when I gave up something I wanted to do solely so I could benefit someone else. Oh, in parentheses, and I didn't toot my own horn when I did it. An easy way here is, am I on a volunteer team? You can look at your calendar for that one. Am I volunteering somewhere where they count on me? Do I wrap my life around serving and being intimately involved in my church, or do I squeeze the church stuff in when everything else is done? Where am I? You can check that one. Devoted people give is the next one. Another one, this is an easy one to measure. Am I giving? I don't know what anyone else gives. I don't want to know what anyone gives. I just know this, that Jesus said in Luke 12, he says, wherever your treasure is, there do the desires of your heart will be also. Some of you have money in the stock market. When you get the paper or you go online, you don't check every one of the thousands of stocks on all the different exchanges. You specifically go to the ones you've got money in because you care what's happening there. Jesus' church is the same way. You and I have been called to share the resources God gives us, and the first place to do that is in his church. Not because we have to, but because we get to, and as a way of showing our gratitude and our devotion to him. Those of you that are part of New Hope probably got one of these this week. It's a giving statement, and I like it. I like calling it a statement because it's a statement of where my values are. And the question is my giving, is my financial support to the church, whatever church you're a part of, is it really representing that it has a key place in my life, that this is top priority? One of the things about giving is you can be completely undevoted to Christ. You can be dabbling in all that and be a generous giver. But you cannot be devoted to Jesus and not be a giver. Where are you? And it's just one of those things you answer for yourself. But is that a high value for me, as high a value as it is to my Savior? And the last one I'll mention, we're going to focus more on this next week, and that is, it's a real simple statement. Found people, find people. Not option, and it's not a pressured kind of thing. It's both a responsibility we have and a privilege. Jesus said this too. He said, for the Son of Man, using that same term again, said, he came to seek and to save those who are lost. His favorite term for people that had not yet accepted him is lost, and it's a great word. The word lost has this idea that something valuable, something precious, something very, very important is missing. And you go after it, and you go hunting it. I find a lot of pennies on the ground. I grew up, I'm not going to get into that, but I don't let a penny go by when I see it, but a lot of people do. Oh, it's just a penny, it's just a nickel. Because it's not important. Sometimes we treat people that way. Jesus doesn't. Every person on this planet is really valuable to him. They are created in his Father's image. And he said they are worth searching and seeking and pursuing. And that's what we've been called to do too. We join him in it. 2 Corinthians 5 says this. It says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. The moment I cross the line of faith, I receive the gift of having my sin completely forgiven. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. The reason it's so important how you and I live, how we conduct ourselves, is because we're God's show and tell. This is how he set it up. If people could see something in us as we're growing and changing and becoming more and more like Jesus, and we get to tell them that it's Jesus, it's not that we're so wonderful. And we get to be his ambassadors in helping and hoping that the people around us will find Jesus in the process. It's never that we never look down on others because they're lost, because that's exactly where we were. The only difference between me and anyone else is I've been found by Christ. I'm not better. I'm not more valuable. I'm not more important. And this thing about being ambassadors, I love this, because an ambassador's job is to represent the one that sent them on the mission. The ambassador's job is not to go around talking about their big ideas and big opinions. Their job is to represent the one that commissioned them. And that's what we've been given. We've been given this awesome opportunity to show what Jesus can do in a life and to tell them where to find hope. This is what his church is called to do. There's nothing, it's not that difficult, is it? When you leave today, outside either of these doors, we have the message notes and the take-home sheet. They're on the same page. This is what I'd like you to do. Before tomorrow's over, you're going to watch football this afternoon, but before tomorrow's over, would you take the take-home sheet and work through it? It won't take you very long, but it's a way to say, are these core values, where am I? God, how am I doing? Where am I doing well? Where am I seeing growth? And are there some areas that you want me to make some changes in, to be more deliberate about, to get some help in? You do it individually. I think it'd be worth doing as a family over a meal. Do it in a small group, or just find someone and say, could we walk through this together? I'm curious what's going on with you, what you're thinking. Remember, if I just listen, but I don't do anything about it, I'm only fooling myself. Let's pray. God, you have invested so much in us. If you never answered another prayer, we are so, so fortunate that you sent your Son that we could have our sin wiped away, and we'd be adopted into your family and have a relationship with you that is truly like no other relationship we could ever have anywhere. And we have this privilege of living our lives in front of you and with you and for you. For those of us that know you, help us to not take this for granted or lightly, or just make it an option, but to really be deliberate, guided by gratitude and a desire to honor you. And for anyone here that doesn't know you yet, I pray that they will have a better picture of who you are, what you offer, and what we all can be together just by choosing to accept Christ as their Savior and leader of their life. Stir us up and help us to do something with what we've heard today. In Christ's name, amen.